Paul, we've just finished the Power Up show and we had the gorgeous Jillian on the line again talking to us about inbound connections and how best to connect with them. We also had a little bit of an insight how Jillian and I met you, and it did involve a lot of duct tape and being shoved in the back of a car, if I recall correctly.
I've forgotten that bit, so we erased my memory already, Mia. But always good to hear what Jillian's got to say, and always sharing some great knowledge on LinkedIn, so it's always fabulous to hear.
And then our next guest set the text line abuzz and ablaze.
He did. We did a lot we've actually not seen it before.
Yeah, correct. Well, it was the first time we introduced it, but
it went mad. It went absolutely.
It went berserk. It appears that there's a lot of people out there who fell into, I suppose, the same little boat as who's our master chef, intentionally or unintentionally,
about
how we pay our employees.
Yeah, and that was really it in terms of, there's a lot of issues out there that have high-profile stories around people that haven't paid their employees correctly in relation to the awards they should be paid under. And Sean was talking about some of the risks and traps that are around there, and also the wraps, and also some free tools that are out there for small businesses to use to try and help them through that, and why it's important, not just from a monetary perspective, but why it's important in terms of the big thing I always say, thing like this as well, as Sean said, was around actually the reputational damage that can come out as well. So Sean, as you say, he set the text line alight, didn't he?
So off to the podcast, I think.
Absolutely.
We are the Insight Intelligence Group, specializing in Australian corporate investigations and information risk management, workplace investigations, competitor analysis, social media intelligence, reputational risk management, internal or external investigations. Professional and proactive, Insight Intelligence Group works with you to ensure the success of the investigation. Australia-wide or global, facts, not opinion. 02-882-9837. insightintelligence.com.au.
Good evening and welcome to the Power Up Show. You with Mia and Paul on this, what can we say the day is? This rather miserable day, but you're in good company. Paul, what's on the show for this evening?
Good evening, Mia. Good evening, everybody. Yes, it is. Isn't it a beautiful day? I thought every day was a beautiful day in Sydney.
It's a beautiful day in Sydney, except when it rains.
Except when it pours down with rain all day.
And it gets windy.
Anyway, good evening, everybody. We've got a packed show tonight, as always. First of all, we'll be talking to our LinkedIn ninja, our resident LinkedIn ninja, Jillian Bullock, and she'll be sharing with us some latest tips as she has great insight that comes to what seems to be every week she has something new to share with us, so we're really looking forward to that. We'll be talking after that to Sean Melbourne from Source Legal, and Sean is basically the first of a two-part series, and we'll be talking to Sean about some of the risks associated with underpayments. There's been some high profile cases recently on that, so to make sure that it's around underpaying employees. And before the end of the show, we'll have Rajin from the Bollywood Show, and that'll be all we have time for this evening.
Awesome. So when we come back, we will be with Jillian.
We will indeed. You're listening to the Power Up Show with Mia and Paul on Live 90.5.
Your sound, your community, Alive 90.5.
And you're back with the Power Up Show. It's 10 past 6 on Thursday the 29th of August. And as always, we have the absolutely amazing Jillian Bullock, the LinkedIn ninja on the call. Hello, Jillian.
Hello, how are you guys?
Ah, marvellous. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Listen, I'm going to mute Paul out and we just don't bother having a conversation with him today. Yes, you can talk. I've turned your microphone on.
No, my lips are moving. I just thought I'd just take Mickey out of me there for a second. How are you, Jillian?
I'm good.
Very good. I haven't seen much activity for you this week, although I've been hiding under a rock somewhere.
You haven't been on LinkedIn then, mate.
And that's one way you get yourself into trouble, Paul, attacking the LinkedIn
ninja.
Are you sure you want your microphone on?
Yeah, just turn me off again, please. Thank you.
We'll just ignore him from this phone call. Jillian, last week we started talking a little bit about how to connect with people and what kind of messages we need to be sending them. So today you wanted to follow up with inbound connections and have a conversation around that.
Yeah, so just basically to flip it around, because if you're putting out great content, you should be seeing lots of inbound connections.
So when you're referring to inbound connections, that's because my content is great and people want to know me and find out more about me, and they're sending me an invite.
Yes, unless they're the duct tape weirdos that they just want to, connect with everybody.
Yeah, that's so
that they can and sell something.
And just quietly, isn't that how we got stuck with Paul?
Well, let's not go down that road.
We won't pull off that band-aid today.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's you putting in really good content, and then people are coming up back to you to connect with you based on what they've seen, or it's just that they've responded to your content in some way with a little like or a comment or something.
Yep, there's a number of ways. So that it can be through great content. That can be because they were recommended to get in touch with you, so they've gone directly by search from a name. It might be because you came up in a Google search. It might be people you may know, which is, you know, after you've connected with somebody in the My Network space, there's a whole bunch of other suggestions that come up. There's a number of ways that it can come towards you. If you're putting out good content, though, you'll see a very big spike. So, yes, you know, within like maybe 2 or 3 hours, all of a sudden you've got more LinkedIn connection requests than you've had all month. Then, you know, okay, I hit a nerve with that piece of content. Fabulous. So it's a bit of an indication that you're on the right path with your content.
And how, I mean, I know that I get that people will like, what am I supposed to do after that? If for example, I put on something going, hey, listen to the Power Up Show with Mira and Paul. We got some great guests on today talking about X, Y, and Z. And then someone comments going, geez, I'm really excited about that topic. But they're not a connection with myself.
Yeah, no, that's not the ones I'm sort of referring to. It's more that there's inbound connections that are sitting in your My Network list. And so there's all these connection requests, and all you can really see is the photo, the person's name, you know, their headline of, you know, managing director of XYZ company, mm-hmm. And who you have in common. That's pretty much all that's sitting there. That's all you've got to go on most of the time, because as we talked about last week, so many people don't personalize it.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to assuming that people are not personalizing it, which is the majority of the inbound connections. So what we can do with that, with a bit of a ninja hack tactic.
Ooh,
I like these.
We're listening.
Thing, I don't know what else to call it.
It's good enough for me. You've got me, Gillian.
I like ninja hack tactic. I think you're onto something. Give it to me.
All right. So basically you look at that, and this is different from the desktop to the phone, right? And I'll go over both. So basically you think you've got two options. You've got the ignore, which is on desktop, or a cross on the mobile, or you've got the accept, which is a tick, funnily enough. Somebody thought that through deeply, which was very helpful. But it's actually via the desktop. It's not your only option. So if you click on the right-hand side when you're in the My Network, if you look at the right-hand side, it will say something like see all, and mine's sitting at 86 right now, so it's like 86 pending invites. Okay, so as long as you've got one, you can click through to this. Okay, so you click through on that, and then you can manage invitations. Mm-hmm. And the magic that appears on that page is that there's a new little option for you that says message.
Ah, yes, yes.
Yeah, so now you can actually message that person and, you know, to quote Ghostbusters here, Ghostbusters, what do you want? Or Ghostbusters, what do you want? Now, I wouldn't be that rude.
I don't know. I like that approach. But I'm not going to lie to you. That appeals to, as Paul would say, my lack of empathy.
I said nothing.
So you'll actually reply that with Ghostbusters, what do you want?
Yeah, correct. You rang? or we can go with Adam's family, you rang?
Yes, okay, I like this. The old friends. So it's an opportunity for you to actually message that person because you don't have enough information to make a decision. So you kind of say, you know, thanks for, you know, connecting or reaching out, but I'm not sure what your intentions were. Did you see some content of mine? You know, what would you like? And the really awesome part is there's a message to them that says that you've accepted the request.
So even if you haven't. Oh, wow.
So it lies to them.
Yeah, they think you have. So the ones that want to, you know, send you inappropriate photos or ask you to go into Bitcoin or multi-level marketing or whatever, weird thing may be.
Pyramid scene.
I want to go back to the inappropriate photos. Obviously, I'm not connecting with the right people here anymore.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen one myself. Not that I'm putting that out there and asking for one, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, let's be clear, neither am I, Paul.
By the way. Yeah, so, Paul, you need to stop doing them. But, yeah, so it happens. I've heard it happens. So, but what does happen is because they think you've accepted, the people that want to send you a sales thing straight away,
mm-hmm.
You can see what their intentions are before you even accepted the connection request.
That's quite interesting. So LinkedIn is actually giving you the power, because while you are meant to technically connect to people that you know, which we know is not the case because we're building our network and trying to find, you know, more people to work with, it is giving us that extra step to say, well, let's get a little bit more proactive with people who want to connect with us. And one of the things that I learned from working with you, Gillian, is if the person's not in Sydney for a start, odds are I'm ignoring their request. Okay. If it's outside of Sydney, there's a good chance I might look a little bit more into who they are and what they're doing. And then there's a 75% chance I'm going to ignore their request. But that was more on the numbers that you gave us, to say that LinkedIn is only showing, you know, X percentage of your followers and your connections, your content. So if you're selling to people in America, you know, if you've got 200, 300 connections in America and the UK and Asia or wherever it is, you could be potentially getting your content out to the wrong market anyway.
Well, it depends. I mean, a lot of people use LinkedIn for all sorts of global products and services.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then, you know, it's kind of taking it on a case-by-case basis. But, you know, even some people, when you send them a message, they don't respond. So it's kind of like, well, why did you connect with me if you're not going to have any sort of engagement with me at all?
Actually, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Could we continue this conversation next week? Because there are people that I've connected with on LinkedIn, but upon further investigation, it appears that they're not even active on there. And then I'm going, why bother? So could we have that? Because that's just from my layman's term to say, are they or aren't they active? I'm just assuming because they're ignoring me, they're not my husband, and they're probably not active. But but I could be wrong, right?
Are you saying your husband's not like active on LinkedIn?
No, he just ignores me.
Oh, okay.
It's like the husband and the kid, their ears don't work. But how do I know, and if we can continue this conversation next week, how do I know if I'm making a worthwhile connection with somebody who's actually engaged on LinkedIn and who's busy on LinkedIn versus people who are not engaged and they just ignore all messages?
Yep, sure. We can cover that.
Beautiful. Gillian, once again, thank you so much. I've learned something today. Now I know that I can actually go back to these requests and just find out what they want, and they're going to work under the blind assumption that I'm connecting with them anyway.
And what was that new phrase we've come up with this week, Gillian? The ninja hack tactic.
Yes, the ninja hack tactics.
Ninja hack tactic.
Hashtag ninja hack tactics. Is that what we call it?
That's a new one for you, Gillian. Get a patent attorney onto it straight away.
Yeah. And if nothing else, put a hashtag in front of it, because that just means you own it, right? Trending tomorrow. Hashtag ninja LinkedIn ninja tactics.
Down under.
Down under, yes.
Down under.
Gillian, thanks so much. We'll be chatting to you next week again.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you, Gillian. You're listening to Power Up Show with Mira and Paul.
All rainy Thursday afternoon, evening, should I say. And Paul, the next guest we have on the phone today.
We do indeed. This evening we're going to be talking to Sean Melbourne from Source Legal, and really just to give a bit of an introduction, this is first of a two-part series. So there's been some high-profile people in the press recently that have got themselves into a bit of trouble around underpayments on staff salaries, and this is obviously a problem well worth avoiding. But the fact that we've got some people caught in this is not a good thing for them. So this week, Sean, we're going to talk to Sean about some of the legal and HR implications of that. And Sean, welcome to Alive 90.5.
Hey, Paul and Mia. How are
you
guys?
Good. How are you, Sean?
Good, thank you.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us this evening, Sean. And so I guess probably just in starting this, obviously, as basically already said, there's been a few high-profile cases recently. So do you want to give a flavour first of all in terms of what might cause a business to underpay their staff?
Yeah, well, in Australia, we've got about 120 modern awards, and they apply in all different industries. So there's like hospitality and retail, mining, all across the board, and they set out the minimum terms and conditions of employment. So they have the minimum pay rates and things like allowances and penalty rates that you have to comply with, and they apply to any business who operates in the industry the award applies to. So if an employer for some reason doesn't pay in accordance with the award, then they're in breach, and there's quite a lot of consequences that can flow from that.
And those consequences...
You might have the Fair Work Ombudsman knocking on your door.
Obviously something to be avoided. And what sort of the main consequences that you've heard or seen?
Well, there's a few things. I mean, if you've been underpaying your employees, you could be ordered to pay back pay for up to 6 years. So, and that can be quite significant if someone's been underpaid for quite a while. And you can also be fined. So the commission can penalise you. And there's been some pretty big fines handed out recently to people like our MasterChef.
He
got quite a large fine, and 7-Eleven, and some pretty big high profile ones, because they're trying to make examples of employers to make sure people are paid properly. And there's also just the reputational issue for your business, because it's a sort of something that's really looked down on now if a business isn't complying with the awards.
Sean, we do have a text line, 0480-028-100. I've just got a message through on the line now to say, I forgot to put through my increase in the 1st of July to my staff. What can I do to fix this problem? And this is from Amber.
Oh, that's a really good question. So, and that's not uncommon, I've got to say, because that's the other thing about awards, is that the Fair Work Commission increases the minimum rates in awards every 1 July. Mm-hmm. So they go up by about 2 to 3%. Each year, so businesses have to make sure they keep up with that. And so if you just realise now, like sounds like Amber might have, that I forgot to do that increase, then it's just a matter of back paying your employees. So just work out the top up amount that they should have got from 1 July, and you can just make a special payment to them of that amount.
Is there a fine? Because you were talking a little bit earlier about paying fines and back pay of up to 6 years. If it's, where are we now? We're at the end of August, so it's just a 2 months, oops, I forgot. Is there any fine, or we just, I don't know, make it better?
Yeah, there'll only be a fine if it gets reported to the Fair Work Commission and they investigate. But if someone's self-corrected and they've gone back and they've realised they've made a mistake and they've gone back and topped it up, and it's only a month or two, that's a pretty low end. So it might not even if it went to the commission, you might not get a fine for something like that.
Fair enough.
It's more the sort of long-term, sort of more serious breaches that tend to attract the big fines.
And does that mean there's no sort of official grace period, Sean? Is that just a case of if the issue gets flagged to Fair Work Ombudsman, then, you know, there's more chance, I guess, of being a fine, but there's no official grace period there. But if somebody's employer's done the right thing, the chances are they're in a better position to be able to defend themselves if an issue does get raised.
Yeah, that's right. It's always a good thing to self-correct if you realise you've made a mistake and fix up your employees, so you make sure that they're not worse off from it.
Absolutely right.
Sean, I've got another text message here from Luda from Blacktown. She goes, 120 awards. How do I know now if my staff are on the right award?
We must have been talking. That was my question as well.
that also is a really good question, because sometimes I even don't know what award applies. It's actually very difficult to work out what award applies exactly. But a really good way you can do it is on the Fair Work Commission website. There's an award. There's a mechanism you can go through to find out which award you're covered by. Mm-hmm. And it just asks you a series of questions you can go through. And basically awards apply to particular industries. Like before I mentioned the hospitality award. So if you're in the hospitality field, that award will apply to your employees. And then you've got to look at the classifications in the award and see if your employees come within those classifications.
I've got another question here that's coming
in thick and fast. Yeah.
I think people have just figured out that there's a problem coming up on their hand, Sean.
How many hours have you got, Sean? Sorry.
I got Louis in from Parramatta, and he's saying, I believe I need to be paying overtime rates, but I'm not sure if it's half. Oh, I can't read what this text message says, if it's half pay or one and a half times.
I don't know. What is overtime pay? Let's just maybe start there and get Louis started on that one.
Yeah, well, that'll come down to which award applies to Louis' employees, mm-hmm. because each award has its own provisions that relate to overtime. So usually they'll say something like, if an employee works more than 38 hours per week, then they'll be entitled to overtime, or if they do more than 8 hours a day, they get 1.5 times for the first 2 hours and then two times thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to, each award's different, so you need to actually find which award applies to your employees and just check the award the overtime provisions in that award.
Okay. I've got ping from, this is the most we've had this text line going, Sean. So we've got some questions coming thick and fast here on the text line 0480-028-100. I've got ping in from Blacktown too, saying one of my staff members who's casual mentioned she should be getting a leave loading. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, a leave loading. Well, actually, there's two types of loading. There's a casual loading, which applies to casual employees, which is all casual employees get under award get paid an extra 25% of the minimum rate, and that's designed to compensate for things like annual leave and sick leave that casual employees don't get. So she may be thinking of the casual leave loading, but there's also annual leave loading, and that's an extra. Some awards have an extra rate that has to be paid while someone's on annual leave, and often it's around 17.5% of their minimum rate,
mm-hmm.
and they get that. It's like a special bonus they get while they're on annual leave, so they get a slightly higher rate of pay during the time that they're on annual leave.
Look, we're getting quite a few questions, and it sounds like businesses are not quite compliant, and I don't suppose it's, well, I'm not going to make the assumption, but it sounds like it's more a human error. They forgot to put through increases or whatever the case is. But we're going to go to a break now, clear off some sponsors and some ads. But when we come back, Sean, would you mind staying on the line? Can we just, so we can just talk a little bit about how we can bring our business to a compliant stage and avoid any of these issues in the future?
Sure, no problem.
Beautiful.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Sean. You're listening to Alive 90.5. This is a Power Up Show with Mia and Paul.
Five.
And we're back with Sean from Source Legal in Sydney. Sean, thank you so much for holding on the line for us. We do appreciate it.
Sure, no problem.
Sean, we have been getting inundated, I suppose, Paul, is the best word, on the text line 0480-028-100.
Don't give it out again. We don't want any more.
Please stop seeing them coming, because Paul and I are not your legal source. We don't know answers when we get rid of Sean. But we've gone through the questions during that break, and there's been a... what's the best word to say? We've just kind of put them into three
into
questions.
Themes,
themes, because people seem to have a very common theme here. The first one is a question that's coming through a lot is, what is the Fair Work website and why should I know about it?
All right. So the Fair Work website is FWC, so the letters for Fair Work Commission, .gov.au, and it's got great information on it. It's got very good summaries of all the different areas of employment law, like, you know, how to pay leave properly, how much notice you've got to give on termination, all those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. It's a very good resource. And you can even sign up for updates on that website. So you can choose, for instance, if you want to be notified of changes to your award, you can sign up for that on the website, so you get emailed out when that happens.
And that's a very useful tip, I think, at the end of the day, because I think certainly that's one thing that I've talked to clients I've dealt with in the past, so they make sure you keep them up to date. You say it gives people updates as and when there's changes, isn't it, Sean? And that's, I think in terms of some government websites, it's probably one of the better ones out there.
Well, actually, it does address then the next question that's been coming through. And I don't know, Sean, if this is more disturbing than it should be and if it's something you see quite a bit with. And the predominant question that's coming through is, I'm paraphrasing here. Oops, I missed the 1st of July and I haven't put my increases through. How do I not repeat this next year?
Yeah. And I've got to say that it's not uncommon. It catches a lot of businesses as off guard a little bit. Many businesses don't realise that the rates go up 1 July each year, and some just forget. But we do need to make sure we're compliant, because otherwise we can get into trouble with Fair Work. So One thing you can do is on the website, you can subscribe to updates. You can actually subscribe to changes in the rates. They announce the rates in the early May each year to start on 1 July. So keep an eye out for it. But you should also just maybe set in your calendar that you need to review your rates as 1 July, because there is always an increase that time of year.
So you said the notification comes out in May. Is that what the rate increase is going to be, or when do you know what that rate increase is going to be?
Yeah, that comes out early May. So the Fair Work Commission goes through their process and then they make a decision early May as to what the rates will be starting 1 July.
Okay, so you know as early May how you need to be fixing your books or fixing...
Yeah, that's right. You get a little bit of warning.
Yeah. I mean, I guess probably for some businesses that might need to budget in advance that. Sometimes maybe it might be a case of, in terms of budgeting purposes, maybe they could actually look in terms of what might have been happening historically. Because typically, Sean, the last few years, it's been something between 2.5% and 3.5%. Is that roughly what it's been last few years?
Yeah, it's around that, yeah. But actually, last year's was 3.5%, and this year's was slightly less, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it goes anywhere from, say, sometimes it's as low as 2%, but there's been an increase each year since the Fair Work Act came in 2009.
Yeah.
The third question that we've got, this was just a once-off question, but it did intrigue me a little bit, and it's around bookkeepers, an outsourced bookkeeper. My bookkeeper says they know what they're doing and everything is up to date. Can I just assume that they're on top of it, or should I be checking? That's from Jesse in Penrith.
Yeah. Well, as an employer, it's your obligation to satisfy yourself that you're paying your employees correctly. And relying on a bookkeeper won't necessarily be enough. So what I recommend in this situation is that if you're a director of a business, conduct some spot checks. Like, you might choose, say, depending on the size of your business, you might choose 5 employees and just check how they're being paid, check their pay slips and make sure they are being paid per the award, because that's a good way of picking up if there are any issues. And then that also shows, if you do get into trouble, that also shows that you've taken solid steps to make sure that you're satisfied that you're paying your employees correctly.
Is there an argument to be had for ignorance or just didn't know any better or incompetence?
Yeah, that argument's worn very thin in the Fair Work Commission now.
Okay, I was just checking.
Yeah, they...
Sorry, oops, I didn't know. Yeah.
I feel like that would be my defence.
Yeah. It's been, lots of people have tried using that as a defence, but they don't. It's really a positive obligation on employers now and on the directors of a company to make sure they're paying people correctly. And, yeah, I mean, if it might get taken into account in terms of the penalty, like it might mitigate the amount of a penalty that might be levied if you can show that you've, you know, made sure you've relied on good advice, but it's not going to get you out of it. Mm. So you've got to really take your own constructive steps to satisfy yourself. Mm. You know, one thing you can do is you can get like a pay audit done. So you can, there's like HR consultants or lawyers do this as well. They'll actually go in and audit how you're paying your employees, and they'll certify to you that it's being done correctly. And that's a pretty good thing to have as a backup if you ever get in trouble with Fair Work.
For someone, I think it was it Luda from Blacktown? I think she was the one who texted. She doesn't know which award, with all those awards, she's not actually sure which award she should be on. In that case, it would be a good idea for her to get hold of either an HR consultant or a lawyer to go through that with her and identify the right award she should be on?
I think so. You can either do that or contact the Fair Work Commission. Like, the Fair Work Commission will help you determine which award you're on.
Uh-huh.
But if there's any... sometimes the Fair Work Commission says there's uncertainty and you should see a lawyer. So you could probably try the Fair Work Commission first and they'll give you good guidance, but it may be that you end up needing to see an HR consultant or a lawyer to be sure.
Now, what other steps can organisations and business do to become compliant so that this does not become an issue? Because we've seen with the George Columbaris case, we've seen with 7-Eleven, I think even Chai Time was head up whether it was the franchise owner or whether it, whether it's a franchise owner or whether it was at store level, it doesn't matter. If you're not paying your staff well enough, or you're not paying your staff properly as per the reward, you are going to hit yourself up, not only for penalties, but the brand, the reputational risk is quite high, which is something you have discussed already.
Yeah.
So what kind of things can we be putting in place, other than checking with Fair Work Australia, other than making sure you got your finger on the pulse within the organisation? What other things can we do to be more compliant?
Yeah, well, one thing I alluded to before is doing spot checks. So do regular, either 6-monthly or 12-monthly, depending on the size of your business. Do regular checks where you actually go in and check your employees, even get an outside consultant to do it for you, and have that in writing recorded somewhere that you've done that. So it shows that you've been proactive. The other thing that you can do is get good payroll software. So payroll software can, often they'll alert you when award changes come through, if you've got a good one. They won't certify your compliance like a lawyer can do, but they're pretty clued in. They know how to work the award, so they'll help you make sure you get set up in your award and you're paying your employees really well. And there's some really good software out there now that is really high-tech and easy to use as well.
And that takes off one of the questions that were coming through, the multiple concerns that were coming through, which was, oops, I forgot. So a good payroll software system is going to mitigate that risk, because they're going to notify you that something's up.
Yeah, that's right. They'll set you up per the award. So they'll actually set up your payroll so it works how the award works. And then also when there's changes that come through, like pay rate increases, they help implement those changes as well.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And I think probably that segues quite nicely into part two of this series. Next week we're going to be talking to Matthew Horton from FoundU, who basically can give us some more insight in terms of some of the software that's out there that can help businesses and make sure that they automate the process, essentially, Sean, isn't it, really, in terms of it's taking some of the manual work about checking out of that process.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Sean, thank you so much for coming on the line. As I've said, the SMS line, which is normally quite quiet,
is burned.
And it's still going. So stop sending messages. Paul and I cannot help you any more than that. We've got to say goodbye to Sean. He has to go home now. So I do want to thank you. It has been of great value. I've learned something. And this is one part of the finance world where, when I say finance, the payroll world, where I just don't want to be involved anyway.
It's much like insurance for you, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like, you know.
Correct, but it is. It's such a high risk area of your business, and it's such a small little fix. And it's surprising that companies get into this kind of trouble.
Yes, yeah, big trouble.
It is, and it's becoming more and more intense as well. So, but it can be fixed very easily. So,
yeah.
So it's a bit under the radar. Thank you very much, Sean, for joining us this evening.
All
really
right,
appreciate that.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. You're listening to the Pair Up Show with Mira and Paul on Live 90.5.